I will be presenting my commentary on The Remains of the Day by Kazuo Ishiguro. So the following extract, as I mentioned right now, is from The Remains of the Day by Kazuo Ishiguro, which is an award-winning Booker Prize-winning novel. And in this novel, Stevens takes a road journey from Darlington Hall in Oxfordshire to the West Country of England, in an attempt to re-recruit his a former housekeeper by the name of Miss Kenton. In this particular extract, we witness the meeting between Mr. Stevens and Miss Kenton's, and it is in some sense the climax of the novel. However, it is a very tragic piece, as it is the moment when Stephen realizes the mistakes he has made in his life. So in this commentary, I would like to talk about the following four things: how Ishiguro reveals Stephen's inability to express his emotions and let go of his formal mask as a butler, even when there is no longer anything left for him to hang on to. Then how Miss Kenton's speech is very ironic because it reflects Stephen's life and evokes a sense of pity for Stevens. And finally, the passing of time as a reminder of... thirdly, the passing of time as a reminder of how Stevens has wasted his life and how there is no turning back. And then finally, how ironically Stevens tries to comfort Miss Kenton when it is he who has made the more vital mistakes in life. And through these four points, I'd like to show how Ishiguro establishes how tragic Stephen's life has been. Okay, so to begin, I will be talking about how Ishiguro reveals and establishes Stephen's inability to express his emotions and let go of his formal mask as a butler. So we know from the extract that Stephen's is very sad because we see this in the line, "My heart was breaking." This is actually an astounding statement from a man who really rarely shows emotion, and we feel like maybe Stevens has actually understood his mistakes in life now, and that he will be able to share his emotions with Miss Kenton. However, this is not the case. Ishiguro uses high modality to contrast with the previous statement to show that. To show how Stevens actually says the exact opposite of how he feels. He says, "You are very correct, and it is too late to turn back the clock." This is exactly the opposite of how Stevens feels. What he really wants to say is that he does love Miss Kenton. However, he says he yet again is unable to say it. What makes it worse is that he says it with a smile, and this is one of Stevens' masks of as a butler, and it again reveals his inability to express his emotions, because we know that what he wants to do now is maybe even cry, but it's definitely not to smile. And we are also shown this inability to Stephen's inability to move on through naming, because Stevens calls Miss Kenton, even though he knows that she is married, and this reveals how his inability to let go, and it is very tragic because we know that he has no chance with her, and yet he still is unable to let go of this woman who he's loved for most a long time in his life. So moving on, I would now like to talk about how Miss Kenton's speech is very ironic, because it reflects Stephen's life and evokes a sense of pity for Stevens. So she says, "There are occasions now and then when you think to yourself what a terrible mistake you've made in life." This is ironic because for Stevens it is more than now and then. This is all he has been doing throughout the novel, and at the end he realizes that his whole life has been a terrible mistake, and it is not just an extremely desolate occasions, which is how Miss which is when Miss Kenton feels this way. It is within every moment. It is in every moment of his life. She says that you get to think about a different life, a better life that you may have had, and again this reveals how Stevens has been feeling. He has almost lost everything that is important to him throughout his life, and all he thinks about now is a better life, a different life. And the repetition of life here really emphasizes the importance of this. The passage evokes even more sympathy from the reader when Stevens says we should be grateful for what we do have. This is so ironic because we know that Stevens actually has nothing left in life, and yet he's trying to convince Miss Kenton that we should be grateful for what we do have. And once again, this shows that how tragic this piece is. These moments are. Now I would like to talk about the passing of time as a reminder of how Stevens has wasted in his life and how there's no turning back. Miss Kenton says, "I was very unhappy year after year," and this shows how she feels she has wasted her life. But furthermore, she says, "There's no turning back the clock now." Both of these lines show how Miss Kenton feels like she had also wasted her life. But it is Stephen's realization that is truly tragic, because we know that although Miss Kenton may have wasted a few opportunities, she still has a family, and she still does have people who she can go to, who she loves. However, Stephen's realization when he says it is too late to turn back the clock is very, very tragic. And it is the first time when Stevens actually realizes that he has made so many mistakes in life and that his whole life has been a complete waste. Finally, I would like to talk about how ironic it is that Stephen tries to comfort Miss Kenton when he has made the more vital mistakes in life. His smile and what he says is very comforting, and we know later on that Miss Kenton replies that you are very kind, and this again goes back to how tragic this moment is, because he has nothing left in his life, and yet he is still unable to express his emotions to anyone, and this is why this novel is a novel of regret.
Okay. You talked a little bit about line 24. "Indeed," says Stevens, "why should I not admit it? At that moment, my heart was breaking." Before we get on to "why should I not admit it? At that moment, my heart was breaking," comment on the use of the word "indeed."
Indeed is a very ambiguous word, and it's difficult to say what Stevens is actually trying to say, because throughout the novel, Stevens has never actually admitted any of his feelings, and he's always put on this mask of formality that makes him the dignified butler that he is. And the use of the word "indeed" shows how he is unsure about whether or not he should actually admit and show his emotions here, because that would be completely against what he believes his character should portray.
Okay. Then he says, "Why should I not admit it? At that moment, my heart was breaking. For long, however, I turned to her and said with a smile..." To whom does Stevens admit what?
Well, Stevens only admits it to himself in some ways, or to the reader, and that was the point I was trying to make, is that even though he is so sad, he doesn't express his emotions to anyone, because to Miss Kenton all he says is, "You are very correct," and this is exactly the opposite of how he feels.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what Kazuo Ishiguro is trying to show in Steven's personality, which is that he is unable to express his emotions.
Okay. But just preceding that, Steven says, "Moreover, as you might appreciate, their implications were such as to provoke a certain degree of sorrow within me." Who's the "you" in the second person address?
Well, we could imagine that this "you" is the butler that he meets at the end of the novel, who he meets at the pier, and he's explained because we know that he explains to him how his life has been a complete waste, and I think we could presume that it is actually he who Stevens is speaking to.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then he says that implications were such as to provoke a certain degree of sorrow within me. This seems to be a typical Stevens utterance. What do you understand by it?
Yeah, so we can see that this is, again, very formal. It's very formal language. So it's like, you don't talk about your own feelings, it's provoke and a certain degree of sorrow. It goes back to his whole idea of wearing a mask, which is he can never be, even to himself, he can never be simple and straightforward until the next few moments when he just says, "My heart was breaking," which is what he was trying to say.
Okay. Line 13, please, Rahan. I think you mentioned the word desolate. Extremely desolate occasions. Why do you think that desolate is such an impactful word in this particular context?
I think desolate is very impactful because it has connotations of lonely, and this is very revealing of... Well, even though Miss Kenton says it, it is very revealing of Stephen's life, because he has never had the opportunity to raise a family, or and he's pretty much lived a very lonely life throughout, and we see this throughout the book. And I think the reason why it's such a strong word is because it represents Stephen's life in full and like it really well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The extract opens with Miss Kenton saying, "I feel as if I should answer you." Potentially she could have said, "I think," or "I believe," or something else, but she doesn't. She says, "feel." In what sense, to what extent do you think this says something about the kind of individual Miss Kenton is? Kind of character that she
yes,
is.
Yes, I think this reveals the contrast between Miss Kenton's character and Mr. Stevens' character. Miss Kenton is clearly very emotional, which are the connotations that we get from the word "feel," and it's actually now that you mentioned that the word, if Stevens actually says, "I do not think I responded," and these two words really represent this distinction in character between Miss Kenton and Mr. Stevens, and we realize here that Miss Kenton is very emotional, and through the word "feel," it is also implying that she has feelings for Mr. Stevens.
Okay, last question, line 5. "I believe I thought about it as simply another ruse, Mr. Stevens, to annoy you." Why would Miss Kenton want to annoy Mr. Stevens?
Well, obviously she was very frustrated that Mr. Stevens was never able to express her love for her. And so she felt that maybe if she annoyed him, he might um, he might come out of his mask and actually reveal his true feelings.
Okay, Rahan, we've finished. Thank you.